staff bios and news archives. Your state, your news, Wisconsin Radio Network.
They held a concert on the field in Canton on Friday, then the Hall of Fame ceremonies on Saturday. They were late getting the field ready to be painted. By the time that was done, players were warming up for the game. Trying to speed the process up, the officials there tried to dry the field with heaters. Ended up melting the field. That turned out to be the difference maker.
It was a player safety issue. The decision was made. You know, I give the committee and everybody involved a lot of credit for making the right decision. So the field wasn't where it needed to be.
Mike McCarthy says it's unfortunate, but still the right decision. I'm Bill Scott. We'll take a look back at the Hall of Fame induction from Titletown later on the Wisconsin Radio Network.
I find great solace in the fact that I'm not the only one that screws up. Thank you, Bill. 17 minutes until 10 o'clock on your Thank God It's Monday Morning on WRJM. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, and he is our state representative from the Mighty 66. Back on your radio, friend, please welcome Representative Corey Mason. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I have no complaints, sir, but thank you for caring enough to ask.
My pleasure.
Little disappointed that you did not come into the studio.
Yeah, I apologize. I'm sitting outside the pediatrician's office to take my kids into the doctor when we're done here. So,
how many kids do you have?
I have three. I have two that are going to the doctor today. So,
are they okay, or is this like a preschool checkup type of deal?
No, there's a bit of a stomach bug going around, and so you know they're really sick when in the height of summer vacation when they could be out playing, they're doubled over and not feeling well. So got to figure out what's going on.
Well, maybe I'm glad you didn't come in then.
You may be.
Well, this morning I wanted to inform the beautiful humans that you were going to be on via social media. And so, WRJN, your radio friend, Facebook, and my personal Facebook. And so I Googled images of Corey Mason. Why are you laughing?
Because I unfortunately share a name with a male erotic dancer who spells his name identical to mine. And so you will get... if you go to Google Images under my name, images of people and things that are not me.
Well, there is a striking resemblance between you two Corey Masons, I'll tell you.
I do take solace in the fact that nobody would look at the two of us and go, you know, it could be the same guy. Nobody's making that error.
I on my personal Facebook, I have posted pictures side by side. And I posed the question, guess who is going to be on the show this morning? Well, at least you survived the Philadelphia convention, the DNC. You're out there in Philly. How was that?
It was great. It was great. I mean, it was historic. It had, you know, the high drama. It was a lot of fun. It was everything that you'd hope a political convention would be. I mean, it gave the Bernie people the first day to really sort of air their grievances and raise their concerns.
It was kind of like Festivus. They had the airing of grievances.
It really was.
Yeah.
That's what day one was.
It was Festivus at the DNC.
Right. That's right. That's right. The added sort of icing on the cake for a lot of people was the resignation of Debbie Wasserman Schultz as the DNC chair. And I think that actually... help smooth things over for the remainder of the week. So it was a big first day that culminated with Bernie's endorsement of Hillary.
She's really a wretched individual, isn't she, Debbie Wasserman Schultz?
She went out of her way, I think, to make it difficult for people to see her as a neutral actor as chair of the DNC. I mean, really, there are people like David Axelrod who had no... dog in the fight. It was just sort of like, you know, it kind of seems like she's got her thumb on the scale for Hillary, and she's not really supposed to do that. It's supposed to be sort of a neutral thing. So, it was, you know, she did not do herself any favors. Let's just put it that way.
And then she goes before the Florida delegation when it already had been announced that she was not going to speak. They thought that she would still gavel the convention in and out of session, and her own people booed her.
They did. They like rushed the state. I mean, to be clear, it was the Bernie people of the Florida delegation. But nonetheless, I mean, it was enough. It was enough there that it was real and visceral, and it had had its moments, and then, you know, we had a big discussion about the superdelegates and what we're going to do with those moving forward, and then discussions on some of the policy things moving forward. So it was their opportunity to sort of be there, and it was also interesting to watch most of the Bernie folks, you know, come around by the week's end, and you know, I mean, notwithstanding one Kenosha delegate and most of the California Bernie or bus people, you know, most people by the time I left were all singing from the same hymn book. So it was good. It was really good.
He's Corey Mason. He is our state representative from the mighty 66th District. This is Glenn Klein on Community Conversations. These conventions are supposed to be staged as made-for-TV productions without any spontaneity, but both conventions really had a lot of drama. I thought, very interestingly, a turning point in really salving the wounds of the Bernie or Bus people, ironically, was when Paul Simon was late getting out on stage, and Senator Al Franken and his colleague in comedy, Sarah Silverman, the actress and just amazing comedian, had to vamp up there, and she was a Bernie supporter.
And she
famously now said, and I really think it took a lot of steam out of the air there and a lot of the wind out of the sail of the Bernie or Bus people. She said, for you Bernie or Bus people, you're being ridiculous. And they were being childish because, as Bernie said, you know, this is reality and this is political reality. And although Bernie did not look happy up there when Hillary was talking, I mean, he looked pretty grumpy.
Yeah, I mean, he said in his speech where he endorsed her, you know, for my supporters that are disappointed, I assure you, no one is more disappointed than me. Right? I mean, you know, I mean, it looked for a while there like he might win the thing, right? And so you spend your life in public service, you've been in the Senate for decades, and it looks like, hey, you might actually achieve the highest office in the land, and then it didn't go that way. So it takes a process for people to get through that and get over that. But he's been unequivocal in his support. He just had a really good editorial in the LA Times about, you know, talking to people who were still hanging on to the Bernie or Bus thing, or talking about voting for Jill Stein and making it clear that there's really only a couple choices here and we have to make the right one. So he's been a good and loyal Democrat through this process, which is interesting because he hasn't formally been a Democrat until he decided to run for president.
And now he's not a Democrat again. He went back to independent status. He's Corey Mason. He is our state representative from the 66th Assembly District. This is Glenn Klein on WRGN. Are your kids back in the car?
They are back in the car. They're being distracted by the movie The Incredibles at the moment. That's keeping them occupied till their doctor's appointment starts in 9 minutes.
Oh, I see. Well, maybe they could turn down the volume a little bit and just watch the captions or something.
There you go. There you go.
What are your kids' names again?
Eleanor Roosevelt Mason and Amelia Earhart Mason, and then Corey the Fifth are the names of the three kids.
And who's your son named after?
He's named after me and the three Coreys before him. I will say, in reference to the other guy who's out there on the internet, I have had this name in this family since 1902. So I sort of feel like, you know, for precedence purposes, I know it doesn't matter on the internet, but it's been in our family for a while.
Well, you have a much better beard than the model Corey Mason does. He has no beard.
Yes, I've got that on.
No body hair. He looks really good, though. Are you up for re-election in November?
I am.
And
I am.
Is it every two-year term here?
I do have a two-year term. That's the way it works. I'm running against George Myers from the local Racine Taxpayers Alliance.
You must feel very confident just mentioning George Myers' name, even.
I guess. I mean, I'm not one of those people who, like, takes this view that if you mention your opponent's name that it's verboten somehow, or I never sort of understood that. So,
one of your colleagues, and I will not mention his or her name in the state assembly, who appears on this program as you do, has this is very interesting. They've declined coming on the show until after the election. Why would they do that?
Really?
Yeah, I mean, from a political standpoint, and this is kind of like free airtime in a way. We have Democrats, we have Republicans, we even have some Libertarians now, and we would love to have Green Party people and whoever. We are your radio friend. We are the community radio station. Why would a politician turn down an opportunity to get their message across who is running for re-election?
I don't know. That seems like a, I mean, unless people feel like you would be an unfriendly interlocutor, but that has not been my experience. So I don't know why somebody would turn that away.
Good word, interlocutor. That's excellent.
Thanks.
Your kids know what that word means?
I don't think they do yet. I don't think they do yet. My daughter just asked on the way up, who's watching this movie, what does intruder mean?
So okay.
You know, she's learning, but interlocutor might be a word for later on.
In the same general area of the dictionary. She must be going through the dictionary.
Right.
Is that Eleanor or Amelia that asked that?
It's Eleanor.
Okay.
It's Eleanor.
So Corey doesn't have the stomach flu today?
No, it's Eleanor and Corey who have the
stomach flu. Oh, Corey does.
Amelia, who's home. She seems to be, when we get stuff that goes to the house, it's actually Amelia who seems to be immune to whatever it is that comes through. She's got a good immune system. So
the original Amelia Earhart was not so immune to problems, unfortunately.
One big one at the end, but before that, she did many, many great accomplishments.
It's a very good point. He's Corey Mason. He makes the good points for the 66th Assembly District. He's a Democrat. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. You guys have got to be giddy with what's happening with the Republican Party at the national level. I mean, Robin Voss, the Speaker of the State Assembly, came out with an editorial just absolutely reaming Donald J. Trump. But he says he's still going to vote for him. How is that possible?
Well, that's, I think, David Brooks had a really good column in the New York Times sort of questioning this sort of thing. It's like, it's not if you keep having to, as Paul Ryan has, sort of, you know, disown the comments or condemn the comments of your nominee, it's one thing if it happens once where you sort of say, look, we just have a stark disagreement on this one issue. But if you have to keep doing it over and over again, at a certain point you're accommodating those views. If you still say, but even though I disagree with his views on Muslims and what he says about Mexicans and judges and these other things over and over and over again, you're accommodating those views by ending it with, but I'm still going to vote for the guy. And I think that's really what Republicans are going to have to wrestle with this November is, is how much distance are you going to put between yourself and what appears to be, a potentially disastrous candidate for them electorally, but also just, on principle, is this really what you want your party to be? And you can't just say I disagree with them on everything, but I'm still going to vote for them, because the ultimate endorsement of somebody's views is giving them your vote. So they're going to have a tough fall if things keep going the way they're going.
Well, it's going to be every man and woman for themselves, I think. And historians, David McCullough and Ken Burns, have started a Facebook page called Historians on Trump, not against Trump. And I have postulated that we have never seen this in the history of our country. Not being a history scholar, but certainly a history buff, and they have verified, we have never seen a candidate for president of the United States in a major party like this. It's not good for our democracy. It's not good for the Democrats. They have an uncompetitive campaign, and it could be an absolute blowout. As flawed a candidate as Hillary is, she's still got some presidential chops. There's no doubt about it. But if the Republicans would have put up a normal candidate, they probably would have won the White House. I mean, here Hillary seems like, your candidate seems like she's incapable of telling the truth. She goes on Fox News with Chris Wallace and literally denies what we all heard James Comey, the FBI director, say about her. And then her excuse is that she was short-circuited. What the heck is that?
I didn't see the interview, though. I will say I do think this sort of, Hillary is dishonest thing it's been around since William Sapphire, but I think if you look at PolitiFact and some of the other things, she's actually been one of the most accurate, honest candidates that we've had.
Representative Mason, she said she was shot at in her helicopter with Chelsea, and that was a Brian, what's the guy's name from NBC? Brian
Williams?
Brian Williams-like lie.
Yeah, I mean, I... I don't know about the chopper or Brian, what she said to Brian Williams.
No. It was a lie like Brian Williams gave about him being under fire. She said that she and Chelsea came under fire in a helicopter, and they have footage of her landing at a very, very warm, welcoming ceremony. She just flat out lied. And she, of course, what did she say? She misremembered.
I don't know about that incident. All I know is you look it up on PolitiFact, they say she's been the most accurate presidential candidate, not just between her and Trump, but in the entire, field. So, I mean, if you look at what she says and whether or not she can back it up, she's been one of the most accurate people out there. And I know this is sort of like the Republican go-to on it, is if we can just convince enough people that she's not honest and not trustworthy, maybe we can pull this off. But I don't think that's there.
Well, the Clintons have always been very lucky in their enemies, whether it be a Newt Gingrich when he was having an affair, impeaching Bill Clinton for the same thing, lying under oath, Kenneth Starr, and now, of course, Donald J. Trump. But in our remaining minute, I got to get your comment on Governor Walker doubling down on not being willing to do anything to raise funds to fix our roads. And our roads are a mess.
Oh, I mean, look, at a certain point, we're going to have to figure out how to pay for the roads, right? And I think that this is where the Republicans are really going to have to figure out, do they want to govern or just sort of be... When you're in the majority, you actually have to be in charge and govern and get things done, like having reliable roads to get goods and services to the market, right? You can't just sort of say no to everything and still be a governing party. And I think that's what the real crisis is going to be for the state legislature moving forward.
Even Robin Voss is on board to do something.
He is. And look, I mean, had we not undone the gas tax indexing 5 years ago, we would have no billion-dollar shortfall right now. And, you know, I know nobody likes paying taxes, but people don't like driving through potholes or, you know, not being able to get their products to market quickly and easily either.
How about our vehicles being damaged by driving on the roads with the potholes?
Yeah.
That costs money, too.
It does indeed. So, you know, at a certain point, we've got to figure out how we're going to do this, and we've got to find a way to fund it. And simply saying, we're either not going to do projects or we're just going to put these projects on the credit card moving forward is not a sustainable way to govern.
He is State Representative Corey Mason, the Democrat from the mighty 66th District. Well, I hope that the kids' tummies feel better and that you and your wife and Eleanor or Amelia? Oh, no, Amelia didn't get it yet.
That's right. Amelia's still doing fine. Okay. But, yeah, thanks very much, Glenn, and we'll talk next month.
Come into the studio next month.
I will do that.
And then I can show you an actual picture of the other Corey Mason.
It's okay. I'm scarred enough as it is. It's seared in my memory. I don't need to see it again. So
your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
Your thank God it's Monday. Hour of Power follows WRJN covering the world at 10:01.
Delta debacle. Florida flooding. I'm Christopher Cruz. It's a mess for passengers on Delta Airlines today. A power outage in Atlanta caused